As we approach our observance of Tisha B'Av this year, the Tisha B'Av Nidche that we pushed off on account of Shabbos, it's always appropriate to recall not only, of course, the Beis HaMikdash and the so-called Avelus Yeshana, the ancient Avelus that we continue to mourn every single year, but also to ponder the past year in terms of what has happened to Klal Yisrael and what's going on in the world. And sadly, tragically, it's not a pretty picture. We know that just a few weeks ago in Eretz Yisrael, in the earlier part of the summer, a teenage girl was hacked to death in her bed. Somebody who has relatives here in Teaneck was shot and killed, driving home with his family and his wife, and others seriously hurt. V'chahena v'chahena, other tragedies in Eretz Yisrael during the course of this past year. We know about the anti-Semitism that exists, to read about in the news and the internet, on college campuses, BDS movements, Jews in Europe frightened, many leaving. And we wonder, where are we now here in the year 2016, Tisha B'Av Tovshin Ayin Vav? On the one hand, there are many positive things. Our communities thrive. Talmud Torah, Tefillah, observance of kashrus, of mikvos, and so many different things that we have here are almost as never before, certainly not in recent memory. But on the other hand, it's difficult to say that as a people, as a persecuted people, as a people who have undergone so many tragedies, which we mark on Tisha B'Av, that we're out of the woods. And it can result really in a certain amount of frustration, a certain amount of despair. Is Tisha B'Av a day of despair? Is Tisha B'Av a day of giving up hope? Is Tisha B'Av a day of throwing up our hands and saying, look how many tragedies happened, whether they actually happened on the calendar date of Tisha B'Av, as many of them did, even past the days of the Mishnayos, the Mishnah lists the different things that happened, even a more recent history and history throughout the millennia, and those things that didn't happen on the particular calendar date, the 9th of Av, but which we mark on this day, the sufferings of our people, many of the kinnis tomorrow, focus on other events besides Charban HaBayis, Crusades, and other massacres. There's one particular kinnah, I was pointed out during the kinnis, that it's unclear when it was written. We don't know which tragedy it befell. That itself is a tragedy. It could have happened many times. You know, it could have applied to numerous different occasions, sadly, throughout our history. So on the one hand, we could view Tisha B'Av as simply a day of despair and of abandoning hope. But that's not our way. I believe that Tisha B'Av is a day of sadness. It's a day of mourning. But it's not a day of despair. There are tragedies that befall our people, but we will be saved from them. And the only thing that keeps us going as a people and as a nation is this conviction. I saw in a Sefer, Rav Schlesinger, a contemporary Rav in Eretz Yisrael, he points out, it's obvious, you don't need him to point it out, but he pointed it out, and so I'm quoting him, it was more of my attention to it, that you know, the Navi that is generally identified with Peronus, with tragedy, is Yirmiyahu HaNavi. We're going to say in a few moments in Eicha, Ani Agever Rohani, I myself witnessed the affliction, the suffering. Yirmiyahu was a Navi of Churban. Yirmiyahu was present at the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and witnessed it and everything about it, the connection with which he wrote Megillas Eicha. As opposed to Yeshaya HaNavi, who's usually identified as the Navi of Nechama, the Navi of Comfort. Starting next Shabbos Nachamu, for 7 weeks, for the 7 Shabbos in between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, We read Shiva de Nechemta, seven beautiful prophecies of comfort and of hope, from the Navi Yeshaya. Yirmiyahu, we read Divrei Yirmiyahu in the first of the 3 weeks, and Shimud Var Hashem from Yirmiyahu in the second of 3 weeks, and suddenly today we didn't read from Yirmiyahu. Shabbos Chazon, again today was Tisha B'Av. And by the way, we're going to read from Yirmiyahu again tomorrow morning, that's the Haftar of Tisha B'Av. But Shabbos Chazon, we read Chazon Yeshayahu. We read from the Navi Yeshayahu, isn't that unusual? Shabbos Chazon, right before Tisha B'Av, we should find something appropriate, and there's no shortage of Psukim in Yirmiyahu that we could have read as the Haftarah. Indeed, the restriction against Talmud Torah on the day of Tisha B'Av does not include Dvarim Haroyim, Shibur Yirmiyahu, the chapters in Yirmiyahu which speak about destruction and so on. You're allowed to learn that on Tisha B'Av. That's not considered to be cheerful or gladdening. And suddenly comes Shabbos Chazon, and we read from Yeshaya. That's true, the Psukim we read from Yeshaya are harsh Psukim. But why select a prophetic reading from the Navi of Comfort on the day of Shabbos Chazon in anticipation of Tisha B'Av, and today actually was Tisha B'Av? And perhaps that's the answer. That Bedafka, we want to highlight the point that even at the time of the height of our suffering and our tragedy and our commemoration of mourning, there's Nechama. There's comfort, there's hope. And we have to believe that. Because if we don't believe that, then the result is despair, throwing up our hands and saying, can't do it, can't survive as a nation. We've survived as a nation because of that belief, because of that conviction. The Tisha B'Av Kinos end tomorrow morning with the poem Elitzion, which compares Yerushalayim to a woman in the throes of having a baby, in the throes of delivery. Kmo Isha V'Tzireho. Women who have had babies can attest the pain is tremendous, the anxiety, the whole experience, and yet women want to go through it. Women who are unable to have children long for the ability to do it, to go through it, and Baruch Hashem, women want to have more children despite the pain. Doesn't make any sense. Why would a person put himself or herself through suffering and through pain? And the answer, of course, is because of what results afterwards. Because yes, there's pain for X number of minutes or X number of hours or even X number of days and beyond. But the result, there's some a light at the end of the tunnel. There's something positive that emerges that people want. And therefore, perhaps that poem, Elitzion, which concludes the kinnis, hammers home this point. Yerushalayim is kmo Yisho v'tzireho. The suffering of the Jewish people, we go through it, it's painful, it's difficult, but it's not despair, we don't throw up our hands because we know, we have that conviction that later on, something's going to emerge that's positive. And isn't that what Rabbi Akiva taught us in the well-known Gemara at the end of Makos, which records that Rabbi Akiva was walking past with his other colleagues, the other Rabbanim, past the Mokam HaMikdosh, and he saw animals roaming around where once had been the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the other Rabbanim there understandably were moved to weep. And so what became of our Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Akiva smiled. And they thought, what's the matter with you? Don't you feel any emotion? Don't you feel sadness over seeing this place in this state? And as we know, Rabbi Akiva said no. Because the Nevi'im prophesied that this was going to happen. What we just witnessed was a fulfillment of a Pasuk and Psukim and Navi. But the same Nevi'im also prophesied that eventually there'll be a restoration of normalcy. O Yeshu Zakenim Zakenos and so on. Young people, old people return to Yerushalayim and live. And that Nevu'ah will come true as well. That's a Bekiva. And they said to Bekiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu, you've comforted us. What did Bekiva do that was comforting him? He showed that there was a light at the end of the tunnel, that we have to believe there will be something positive. Our practice, paradoxically, on Tisha B'Av, is we don't say Tachanun. Yeah, we say kinnis, it's true. But we don't say slichas, which we say on all the other fast days during the davening tomorrow. And we don't say tachanun because there is almost, in a strange sense, a celebratory tone to Tisha B'Av. Tradition is the Mashiach is born that day, whether it means physically or not, but whatever it means, there's hope. It's not a day of despair. The Gemara says, someone who is misaba on Yerushalayim, zoche v'roa, someone who mourns properly for Shalayim So I would expect it to say Yizke, in the future, will have the zchus to celebrate and rejoice in its happiness. It doesn't say that. It says it in the present tense. Zoche v'roche. He has. The very fact that we observe it, the very fact that we mourn, that itself is, in a certain sense, the beginning of a nechama. How do we do it? How do we maintain that kind of faith for so many millennia, through so many tzoras? I discussed my wife this evening. I don't have the answers any more than anybody else has. But I know that that's what we have to believe. And I would humbly suggest that one thing we do is we keep our priorities straight. Gemara says, based on the pasuk in tomorrow's Haftarah, Al Mo'av de Ha'aretz, Gemara says that we wondered what did cause this land to be destroyed. And the Medrash says that the Chachamim tried to figure it out, the Nevi'im tried, everyone tried to figure it out until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said himself, Al-Azum is Tarasi, because they abandoned the Torah. The Gemara has a peculiar analysis. The Gemara says, you know what the problem was? Not that they didn't learn, but they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. They didn't say the Brachas before the Torah reading, before learning Torah. Birchas HaTorah is in the Siddur from the beginning of davening. I mean, you know, Birchas HaTorah is nice, but that's Amo Avda Aretz. That's why they learned. Like some say, that's why the Chacham and the Nevi'im couldn't figure it out. They were involved in Torah. Why were they punished? Because Baruch Hu say, Allah is Torah, they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Lo Bircha HaTorah Tchila. They didn't say Birchas HaTorah at the beginning. So there are many different interpretations, which I'm not going to go into now. But one suggestion from Mr. Schlesinger is, Lo Bircha HaTorah Tchila. They didn't make Birchas HaTorah, and hence Torah reading Tchila. They didn't make that first in terms of their priorities. They didn't put... Yeah, they went, they learned, that was part of the routine. But they didn't put that, they didn't prioritize that. And what the Gemara therefore is saying, according to this approach, is we have to keep priorities straight. All of us are torn in different directions all the time with things that we have to do, important things. I'm not talking about the nonsense that we do also, there's plenty of that as well, but the important things. But the successful person is the person who prioritizes. And for us, commitment to Torah, not just learning Torah, but Torah mitzvahs, that's priority one. That's a Berchu B'Torah Tchila. That has to be the first thing. And I think that that's just about the only way that we can maintain that confidence, that belief, that conviction, that Eitz Tzor Hiliyakov v'menei Yevosha, that although there's tzaras and there's difficulties, we will see a Yeshua. We will see a Nechama. And we observe this Tisha B'Av, starting now, read Eicha in just a moment, this Tisha B'Av should serve as an inspiration to us. Yes, we're sad. Yes, we mourn. Yes, we mark tragedy. But it's not despair. It's not giving up hope. We never abandon hope. But there is nechama built into Tisha B'Av as well. And we hope that as we continue to keep the Mikdash and the other tragedies alive, that we don't forget it, we don't push it aside and sweep it under the carpet, but we keep it alive by observing Tisha B'Av, that will indeed result in Zocha V'Roa will have the zchus to see the nechama, the comfort of Yerushalayim, B'Vehar Yomim.